Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 517. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 291, Mall Madness 1987. And then we're also going to recap episode 19 of the final season of Beastars. But first, Night Vale, which it feels, I mean, I know it's just been 6 weeks, but it feels like forever since we had an episode. And it's interesting that they decided to do a retrospective episode, and it didn't feel so much like a love letter to the 80s as a love letter to how the 80s could be weird sometimes.
Yeah, and also I had a feeling, and we had to look it up before we started recording. So Cecil's talking about the fact that there is a brand new mall that's opening up in Night Vale, but he's also talking about how there have been these, like, you know, the stock market is booming. And by that, I mean, there's the sound of explosions, which occasionally happens. So this is all taking place on August 1st, 1987. Looking up in history, it was October 19th, 1987, that the stock market crashed.
Aha.
So that's what this is reference to.
Yes.
I had a feeling that's what it was.
They were definitely portraying the stock market as a natural disaster.
Yes, very much so.
But we had an interesting way to start out the episode. It was Leonard Burton, who is apparently still dead and knows that he was killed in a car accident, but he's back because Cecil is missing. And he said, don't be alarmed, because whether you're alarmed or not, Cecil will still be missing. And if you're alarmed, you're making it about you. So Leonard Burton,
he's not wrong.
He has this very folksy, no-nonsense way of speaking.
Yeah, and he also talked a little bit, just kind of rambled for a bit, about who he was and what he was into and how he liked hats and rocks and fried eggs, but he gave all those up because those things stopped being popular. And you can tell he actually regrets that. You know, he regrets being embarrassed about those things. And I'm like, he's got a point there too.
Yeah. Another looking back on 80s nostalgia. And I'm just like, there were some weird ass things that I liked in the 80s. And I kind of like running into other people who also liked them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what nostalgia is all about. But he's going to go ahead, since Cecil is missing, and he's going to give us an episode from The Vault, and it's from August 1st, 1987, like we said. And once he gets into it, we hear Cecil's voice, and we get kind of like an old-timey version of the intro.
Yeah, and we usually listen to these episodes at 125 speed, and it was still really slow. So they slowed it way the hell down. But
yeah,
Cecil's talking about the grand opening of the new Night Vale Mall, although there are some things that haven't been finished before they started the grand opening, like all of the floors and all of the stands and, you know, the different stories and all of that stuff. It's basically just a few escalators out in the middle of the desert. And the builder's name is Blair Powell. And apparently he's kind of infamous for some questionable investments. Like he spent a whole lot of the town's money on party yachts, which are not really working in a desert. So then he invested a lot of money in Clydesdales to pull the yachts. And he said that did not work out. It didn't work out for anybody. Not the people, not the yachts, not the Clydesdales.
No, but he's got this plan for this one that's totally going to work. He wants everybody to come by, even though it's not finished yet. He just has sort of run out of money and needs more money to kind of finish all the buildings. So he's charging a $50 cover charge for people to come in to these escalators. When you heard about the escalators in the desert that were just sort of sitting out there, did you think about the Simpsons
episode? I did, yes. And that escalator that doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that definitely sounded like a Simpsons folly kind of thing. But Blair Powell is really desperate because his creditors are not nice. And they're like the underworld kind of shit. And he's not talking about organized crime. He's talking about actual demons who are holding all of his loans. So he really, really wants to raise money now.
Yeah, every time we hear from him and see him, he just gets a little more sweaty every time we talk to him. So we go from there to the community calendar. Sunday is Disco Never Died at the roller rink. Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, but some of the things they talked about, it made it sound like they weren't actually talking about the 1970s. It might have been the 1870s or the 1770s. I'm not sure about that. But and on Monday, it's half off at the Ralph's. And that means everything, like asparagus that has no tips to it, or cut in half bagels. So everything's cut in half. Same great price.
Interesting enough, I did check. We skipped over Tuesday. We went straight to Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that one was, is it only Wednesday? It's time to crawl under the covers until Friday.
And there was a wonderful t-shirt moment. I think I would actually like to have a t-shirt with this on it. Something about having to keep an eye on things when you're hunkering down and hiding when it's Wednesday. And he said, shadows tell the secrets that light tries to hide.
Ooh,
I like that.
Nice.
It sounds pithy without actually meaning anything.
We skip over Thursday, I guess, because we are under the covers until Friday. Friday is the deadline to turn in your Betamax tapes. There you go.
Because 1987, obviously.
And then Saturday is the Moms Against Fun event. They're going to have all sorts of cool things, like a beer garden and great, you know, cool stuff and rides and whatever, and they better not see you doing any of them.
So 10 people have so far shown up to celebrate the idea of a mall, and there was a whole long digression by somebody selling fried ice cream at a stand, and she really wants to be able to set up an actual kiosk at the mall, but she's getting very, very threatening about it, like threateningly throwing ice cream into the deep fat fryers until security comes to drag her away.
Yeah. She was specifically pointing out Orange Julius, I guess, because I guess Orange Julius has been harassing her because she has such unhealthy stuff. And she's like, you're not very healthy either. Tell me, did you ever have an Orange Julius when we were kids?
I never did. I don't know why.
Neither.
I think somebody told me that an Orange Julius was like orange juice with the consistency of milk, and I had no interest in that.
Yeah, I heard that they would put an egg in it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of makes me want to actually look it up. We were real picky eaters when we were kids.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm sure it was delicious, but anyway. We go from there to the sponsor. The sponsor is 1-900-BASSOON.
And it's that just, I mean, you remember that watching late at night and seeing some of the ads. And I think on the channels we watched, it was usually psychics, I think. But obviously, there's other kind of ads. So would you like to call and talk about bassoons? And if you take all of the pieces of a bassoon apart and lie them end to end, they would stretch almost 8 feet. And it was Bree Williams doing the voice,
yes,
apparently, and she nailed the tone of that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Absolutely perfect. Okay, so we're getting with the sponsor, and Blair Powell just drove by in his truck, pulling a cardboard model of the mall, desperately trying to get people to come to this mall event. The escalators are now scorching hot. People are getting like third-degree burns. Security is hauling them off, but they're being careful to explain they're not hauling them off because they're injured. They're hauling them off because they're screaming.
Yes, rude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's getting more and more chaotic out there. There are people who are chasing a Hickory Farms mirage and like being lured along by the scent of summer sausage. And I just, oh my goodness. Boy, does that bring back a memory, having the big Hickory Farms stand in every mall.
Yeah. Two things I remember about Hickory Farms. I don't know if this was the same for everybody's, but the Hickory Farms in our mall, which was the DeSoto Square Mall, which is not really a thing anymore.
Which is no longer there. It has been raised to the ground.
Oh, yeah. And Mom would need to go shopping. And of course, I'm sure it was clothes shopping. It was very boring. So she would get us a cup of chocolate frozen yogurt from the Hickory Farms because they had a chocolate frozen yogurt machine there. And us sitting on the fountain sharing the cup of that while Mom was shopping is just like, I remember it being the most delicious thing ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the reason for us to go to the mall, basically. You could even talk me into shoe shopping if you gave me some frozen yogurt from Hickory Farms.
Yes, that. And if we ever got Hickory Farms as a present, which I know our family did at some point, it was definitely a thing people gave to each other during the holidays. But the little strawberry candies.
Yes.
I love those because they were wrapped to look like a strawberry. I was fascinated by that. Okay, and now Blair is getting more and more desperate. He's talking about, you know, I know you guys are having some problems and everything, but I need to hold on to your money just a little bit longer. And he's starting like tic-tac-toe games, you know, giving everybody good odds, best out of three, whatever. He is panicking.
Yes, and now there is another opening happening at the grand opening. It is, the ground is opening up and you can start smelling charred flesh, and you can see the denizens of the underworld are crawling upwards. Maybe? I mean, it doesn't have to be demons. I mean, it could just be the stock market. So why don't we just go ahead and check the weather just to be sure?
Always looking for something new. The weather was I Will If You Will by Gladdy. And I wrote down Quiet Southern Rock. And then about three quarters of the way through, I wrote Good Beat. I liked it.
I liked the beat. I especially liked the first verse. And I looked it up and now I will read it out verbatim. Inherited jealousy from another. Inconsiderate feelings to digest. It's it's easier choosing to be lonely. Stubborn's the armor of the depressed. The devil's not in the details. He's just swimming in your beer. God's a kind-faced diner waitress whispering surrender in your ear.
Oh, I like that.
I do That's like cool. that a lot.
That's very cool. Okay, so we get done with the weather. We go back to the grand opening, which, yes, is the underworld coming out. And Blair tried to run, but he was dragged down, stuck to the scalding metal of the escalator as it dragged him down into the underworld with him screaming the whole time. I'm like, that was like, the way they read it aloud was like really, really vicious.
Yes, and Cecil said, and no one ever saw him again. Well, I mean, this only happened a few moments ago, but I'm pretty confident in saying it's forever.
Yeah. So a legal notice appeared saying that the mall will now be owned by an underworld demon called Abezos. Do you suppose that's like Bezos?
Probably Bezos. Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Cecil's actually okay with that because he says soul devourers do have a strong work ethic. I'm like, I guess that's true.
So, I mean, that was pretty much it. And we listened all the way to the very end because when Leonard Burton started this episode, there was that ka-chunk noise of a cassette. And I really hope that that's like the Fidelibac cartridge from one of my favorite episodes. But we did not end the episode with another cartridge.
Aww. I know. Did they only do that the one time?
I think they only did that the one time.
And that lives in my brain as being such a cool way to end the episode.
It's just like, wait a minute. If that was the cassette turned off, who was playing that cassette?
Yeah, it was so cool. So cool. Okay, so that's it for Night Vale this week. So we're going to jump into Beastars. It was episode 19 of the final season. I liked what you said right before we started the episode, that most of this episode of Beastars was Legoshi being hapless again.
Yeah, because a mouse comes up and tells him that he's famous because the police have decided that he's a suspect for a whole lot of murders. And the media is going to absolutely be revealing everything about his family, about his life, probably the consensual devouring. And the mouse says, if you need a place to hide, just come here. And he hands him a map that says rat on it. So it wasn't mouse. It was rats, I think.
Yeah, that's fine.
Cause they were eating meat. And I was like, I think mice will eat absolutely everything, but I know rats will eat everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of scenes of the police going around. They definitely have decided that Legoshi's the murderer. They're flat out telling people when they're talking to him. One of them is interviewing his boss. And one little bit of information that he drops, which I thought was interesting because of the whole thing with, I think he was, now I don't know. I don't know if he was talking about the tattoo parlor devouring, but he did mention that somebody had been devoured right after there had been a delivery from this shop. So I don't know if that, because Legoshi definitely wouldn't have been the one to do a delivery to the tattoo parlor. That would have been the leopard woman that was covering for him. But now that I think about it, I don't know if there was a delivery there. He might have been talking about one of the earlier devourings where Legoshi did do a delivery there.
Oh, I completely forgot. When we start, it's Legoshi and Haru having a conversation, and Legoshi is showing her a lot of self-defense stuff that he's gotten for her, like mace and a taser. And just, and she kind of thinks it's a bit of overkill, but Legoshi absolutely does not. He thinks that she's definitely not safe, but he tells her he really needs to catch Melon because he wants to get married to Haru. And what is it that he says that ticks her off this time? Because it's like, she gets mad at him with every conversation now.
Yeah, she happens to stand up on a table or whatever, and she notices that his eyes have gotten really glazed. She's like, what? And he's like, you're just at the perfect height to kiss you, which is a really sweet moment. And she's totally fine with that. And so they both lean and they almost kiss. And he's like, oh, I want to wait. And that's when he says, he wants to ask the Beastar to allow them to get married. And he says, I just want to save you until then. And she's like, oh, save me till then. Wow, that's great. So she's pissed off. And then basically, I think a lot of the times when Haru gets really mad, it's because she's really horny.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But yeah. I think one thing that he said that ticked her off, he wanted to know if she was attracted to Melon, because she did tell him that he could go ahead and devour her if he wanted to. And she's like, you're the only person that I like. And I get that she doesn't like being accused of being fixated on a mass murderer. But at the same time, Haru, come on now. You do have a history. You need to embrace your history, but and not try to pretend that there's no reason for anyone to think that she might be attracted to someone else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Also, you did say that he could eat you, and I'm just like, you're so dumb. Oh,
but she's going to go and start investigating Melon at the university because she does not want Legoshi to start wandering around and maybe get himself in trouble because she heard that rat talking about the fact that he's wanted for possible murder.
Yeah, yeah. Also, her friends approach her at one point, and they're basically asking her all about, oh, is this true and everything? And she's saying, no, it's totally not true, but they think that she's just standing by her man. They think it's very, you know, romantic that she has this thing there. And she's like, no, he just didn't do it. But yeah, everybody believes that he did it.
Yeah. And one of them, her friend says that this is even scarier than, and she mentions the incident where their rabbit friend got attacked by a lion. We still don't know if she survived that or not.
No idea. No, they haven't made that clear. So nope, nope, nope. Now, when is it that Louis, mm-hmm. That's right. You could say it anyway. So when is it that Louis sees the people filming the little thing about supporting interspecies relationships?
I can't remember where in the episode that happened, but he sees that as an opportunity to ask them to caution everybody, especially if they're in interspecies relationships, because there's a real threat right now of somebody going around and specifically targeting interspecies relationships. And they're not too sure about it, but then they say, well, I mean, you're kind of famous. Could we just go ahead and use your name as part of this? Because, you know, that would get them a whole lot more attention. And he's not sure. And then he gets a call from his father, who has seen the news coverage about Legoshi. And he says, you probably need to, no, he didn't even say probably. He tells Louis that he needs to keep a low profile because with Legoshi in the news, people might put two and two together and realize that there was this whole consensual devouring thing, which is why Louis only has one leg now. And right. Louis is just sitting there and he's thinking about that. And he, after he finishes the call with his father, and then he goes back to the two people who were doing the broadcast and he says, use my name. Because of course he did, because he's not going to back down from something like that.
No, he's absolutely not. Now, Legoshi does finally go seek out the rats. And yes, they are eating meat. They even offered him some meat at one point. And the rats are definitely, I don't know, They're kind of anti-herbivores, I guess. I think they just think that herbivores are spoiling all their fun. You know, won't let us eat them and everything. They let Legoshi stay down there, but they're not very, like, I don't know, reassuring or anything. And they don't, you know, they just lock themselves into their tiny little RV and he just sleeps on the ground.
Yeah, and listens to their radio and listens to all this news story. And yes, they have... The media, the police, they've all decided that obviously big, scary Legoshi is probably the one not only killing the people in the tattoo parlor, but all the other devourings as well. And it is helpful that the B-Star was with the police when they are looking through Legoshi's room and he sees a container of Kinnis up on a cabinet. And Legoshi is shocked to find that out. So I had wondered if he had taken some away from people who were pushing it and just put it up to the side or something like that. But no, he has no idea how that thing of Kinnis got into his room.
No. And I also realized, you know, one, the B-Star may actually believe that he's a devourer. That's a possibility. But the other thing is this whole time he's been saying, oh, if I capture Melon, the B-Star will give me permission to marry Haru. And I realized, well, he's making a really big assumption there.
He
don't
is.
Think the, yeah, the B-Star promised him money for Melon's capture at one point, but I don't know. I mean, the B-Star is pretty vicious. You know, he buries carnivores in his garden to grow great carrots and everything. So he's making a big leap of logic there that's going to happen. And I just realized that. They're like, no, he probably doesn't have to do anything for him.
Now, there's an odd little unconnected scene with Louis' father calling in a scientist. I guess she works for his company, but he's aware of her work and he wants her to work on a project with some other people. And it is to work on this chemical, I think. And it's not to make... The meat, like the lab-grown meat source that they're trying to come up with. It's something to make it easier to create the lab-grown meat source. So
right.
Something seems a little odd, and she takes some persuading, I think. And it almost looks at one point like they're flirting, but then maybe not. So I'm not sure what's going on with all that.
No, I just assumed that, you know, this whole thing going with the Olympics and everything else with the town and all that. And part of it hinges on being able to get artificial meat so that the athletes could eat meat and be strong and do better and everything. But it's all, I mean, it's kind of like Elon Musk. It's just like, we're going to have self-driving cars and robots. And like, well, you can say that all you like, but you haven't made it happen yet. So I think the artificial meat may be a little bit of a pipe dream at this point.
Yep. But the last things that we see in the episode, Haru finds out that Melon was fired from the university because it turned out all of his references were fake, which of course they were. And while she's wandering around the university and, you know, before when she was talking with her friend, she gets this feeling that she's being watched. And her friends think, oh, it must be your boyfriend. But she definitely doesn't seem to think it's Legoshi. And she's walking someplace to go home, I think, through an alleyway or something, and she hears the footsteps behind her. So she ducks into a corner, and the footsteps follow her, and then she jumps out and tases them, and it's Legoshi's grandfather, because of course it is.
Yeah, man, she tases the crap out of him.
She does.
But I thought, good for her. I mean, she held on to that self-defense stuff. I was like, oh, wow, nice. And also, you know, if Legoshi's grandfather, I'm sure he wasn't going to hurt her and everything, but if he was stalking her, I mean, come on, dude, you got what you deserved there.
I think so, unfortunately. You were a great big scary... not mantra lizard, Komodo dragon, and Haru is a tiny white rabbit. So that's, it's been interesting seeing some of the discourse on threads with guys asking about when they are walking on a path and they see a woman ahead of them, are there things that they can do to make the woman not be startled? And I mean, I responded to one of them because he was talking about how he was like trying to pace himself so he wouldn't overtake her, but then trying to make a noise to let her know that he was there and he was coming up past, and she still got a little jumpy. And I told him, I mean, jump scares are unavoidable sometimes. I have jump scared myself by turning around and seeing somebody that was standing there that I hadn't realized was standing there at work in a hallway. So it's just, I mean, it can't be avoided, but if you're trying, that's good. You're in the good mindset of trying to get into the mind of the person that you're trying to not scare. So that's always helpful, which I don't think Legoshi's grandfather was doing that.
No, I don't think so at all. Oh my goodness. But that was the end of the episode. So, you know, we've got four more episodes, I think. Well, five?
Wait, four.
Hang on.
Yeah,
four.
I think it's, up to episode 24 is the final one. So, yeah, down to the last four.
That would mean we have five, though, because this was 19.
Oh, I think you're right. Yes, we do have five. Now counting is weird, damn it.
Oh, my God. Math. What is it, the one girl on the Tri-Channel said, I'm too pretty to do math. So the only other thing I wanted to talk about this week is Gen Con was last week, and I'm not going to call it a convention disaster story because that's a specific flavor for us. You know, that's kind of like there's a little hubris involved in there. But my God, they struggled this week. They had a tornado come through, which props to them. I don't think anybody was hurt. I think there were vendor tents outside that got completely destroyed, but I don't think there were any injuries. So that's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I think it caused some structural stuff, and they actually had, like, it was raining on the giant sales floor inside, like literally raining.
Oh, so. My God. All of those people that sell prints and artwork and crafts and something, and everything's getting soaked. I mean, it was a downpour inside. This wasn't just a little sprinkling. And then there was that other video that you sent that was looking down, I guess it was in the basement or something, and I think a water main had broken or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it was related to the tornado from the structural damage and everything. But I'm like I said, props to them. This was not, and from the discourse that I'm seeing online, it doesn't feel like a lot of people are blaming the Gen Con organizers. It does kind of seem to be like, what are you going
to
do?
I was about to say, this was kind of an act of God sort of thing. And I'm not sure how well you can prepare for a natural disaster to hit your convention center. I mean, if nobody got hurt, That's good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And boy, people are going to have a great story after that one. Considering sure that nobody got hurt. Can you imagine going to something like that? I'm like, oh God, the Gen Con with the tornado. Holy cow.
Only other thing that I've been doing is I actually finally started watching Better Call Saul again. I'm on season 4. I think I've only got a couple more episodes left of season 4. It is amazing how fast I got back into it. And it was there are scenes with Jimmy that just make me smile. I mean, because he is just such a con artist. But God, the way he goes about it, the way they film it is always just so fun.
Oh, good. Because I stopped after season 1, and it was just because it ended with his brother tricking him with, like, actually recording what he said, and you just knew that he was going to get in trouble. And so I was like, oh, it's going to be a thing. And so I didn't start back, but everybody tells me that I really need to get back into it.
Yeah, by the time that I'm at it, that is a done storyline. So you don't, okay. I mean, there's obviously going to be some things that keep playing into the general arc of the story, but yeah, you're not dealing with that anymore by the time I'm there. And
good.
It's just, God, Jimmy, it's so weird because he is just so ambitious and yet he is his own worst enemy. And I can't really decide how he's different from Walt from Breaking Bad, but he is. I mean, they're both people that are their own worst enemies. And at the same time, it's kind of a different situation.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's been a lot of discourse about Breaking Bad. So about how Walt was never like, he was never like a good person who just slowly became evil because of what he was doing. He was just bitter and angry right from the get-go.
Right from the get-go. That was all an excuse to feed that ego of his.
Yep. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Yeah, we have Nathan's photos from GalaxyCon are now up on the site. And we also got photos from Lauren. And I think she was there on Saturday. And so all of those photos from both conventions are very cool. If you were at San Diego Comic-Con or GalaxyCon, there is a very good chance that somebody got your photo. So go ahead and check those out. Chime in if you see yourself so we can tag you, because we love tagging people.
Oh, yes, we do.
All that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So no Night Vale next week,
but
we will have another episode of Beastars. Definitely gotta watch that. Also, I am determined to watch Murder Drones, at least give the first couple episodes a try, because I am just sort of like in withdrawal from the Amazing Digital Circus. I have been like binging on fan art on Instagram.
Oh, such beautiful fan art. My God.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, now I want to see some of the other stuff that they've done. And I think it's their second most popular series, because like Digital Circus is well and above the most popular thing that the Glitch Studios have done. If you like click on their popular videos on YouTube, it's all Digital Circus. And the next thing is Murder Drones. So I would like to give that a try to see how that is.
And I'm a little curious about the latest Spider-Man movie, because
yes,
the Red Letter Media guys did an episode about it and they liked it. I mean,
good.
They think all of the Spider-Man Marvel movies have been just, you know, fun and watchable, but it's a different director this time and he doesn't use fucking green screens for everything. So they said it actually looks like a movie instead of it looks like a Marvel movie. So, and
I think
they think this is probably the best one of the bunch. So
take
that with a grain of salt. I'm kind of tired of Marvel stuff, but I could be persuaded to stream something sometime.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Hugh reviewed it. And of course, he loved it, but Hugh loves everything. But he did give it an A plus 100.
Oh, good.
So he doesn't give 100s to everything. It's kind of a scale with Hugh, but he did like it. Said the same thing about the director. Likes the direction that they're going.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
So we'll discuss that on whatever else distracts us. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
second. I want to look up something real fast. Hang a second.
The typing noise is coming through very strangely.
Really?
Yeah.
So irritating that I specifically put minus AI on here, and the first thing I get is a fucking AI.
I'm sure they're coming up with new and new ways to get around that. Certainly, we keep hearing news stories about AI going rogue and attacking rivals, which when that first happened, I saw some people had theories that that was actually something that was set up between the companies, or like kind of like, ooh, yeah, our AI is just this powerful. But if it keeps happening, it just starts sounding like they're not in control.
Hey, what was that thing that Hannah had sent us? The woman talking, she was making a connection between that and men. And was it the chocolate covered poop in the container?
I have no idea. Oh God, I can't
remember. You might not have watched the video. That's fine. I won't get into it because I can't remember. But it was basically just like, well, there's only one chocolate covered poop thing, and the rest are fine, but you don't know which one it is, and so you're going to be wary of all of them.
Yeah. So. Should I put that in there? That would be kind of fun.
We can probably put it in the outro. That would be fine. From Glitch, because I am, of course. Hang on, Scar. Still a card. Damn it.